Hello, good humans. My name is Amanda and welcome back to Self. On this podcast, I share ideas, experiences, and to have conversations to explore the self. By developing our own self-awareness, we can better show up for ourselves and those around us and hopefully all live happier and healthier lives. Welcome to 2024 and please accept my sincerest apologies for being a bit behind these last few weeks on the episodes. I know it's been a minute since we last spoke and for that I am very sorry. So today's episode is just a little catch up. I am keen to let you know about what's been going on in my life and my journey and exploration of self for the last few weeks. It's been a bit of a wild roller coaster ride with lots of things changing. Quite fun and also very stressful. Wow. Okay. So the last few weeks have been a little bit crazy up here in far north Queensland. I feel as if my life has been operating at this high intensity, full speed for the past couple of months. And I don't know if you felt that way. And if you didn't, I'm so glad for you. And if you did and it felt really overwhelming, I want you to know that I know what that feels like. And often, you know, I think for me, my personality is such that I'm a bit of a go-getter. So I like to say yes to a lot of things. It's one of the things that I have been working on generally overall. Great theme of my life is learning how to say no. But I do say yes to a lot of things, yes to opportunities. And what I had hoped for out of December did not come to fruition whatsoever. So at the start of the month, I had a freediving competition, which meant I was also helping to organize this with David, my partner, and I was also competing. So there was a bit on training for it, and come to the comp, it was awesome. We had a lot of good mates come up for it and compete. It was so great. And that already was an opportunity for me to have some more insight on myself. You know, putting myself into a competitive environment for the second time, seeing how performance anxiety plays a role in my diving and stuff. So, you know, there's a bit about that. But overall, the weekend was fantastic. I did a couple of new personal best dives. I had a lot of fun diving, which is the main thing. And in the months leading up to the comp, David and I were like, yep, after the competition, we have a week to unwind, to spend a bit of time together, just to let everything digest and sit before we were due to fly out to the Gold Coast to spend Christmas with his family. Sure enough, the weekend of the competition, we get some alerts and there's talk and news about a cyclone coming. And I was like, cyclone, schmyclone. And quite, you know, I don't want to say completely dismissive. I was very much of the thought that it was a future Amanda problem. I didn't have, in truth, I didn't have the capacity to consider everything thoughtfully in that moment. And I was like, okay, well, there's a few more days for that. So once the comp's over, then I can give it some time and space to think about it. So sure enough, Monday comes in and we are straight into cyclone prep. I grew up in Perth where it's sunny and dry in December. And, you know, we have this like beautiful dry heat there. And I didn't grow up around cyclones. I had no idea. We're like sandbagging the house. And I mean, even sandbagging, had no idea. I just had to ask people, what do you do when you sandbag the house and why are we doing this? To prevent flooding, by the way. So we are preparing the house, we're moving all the furniture, getting everything inside, off the floor, preparing in case if we lose power, we lose water, all of this stuff that I have really had the privilege of never having to worry about before. And this cyclone, which wasn't, you know, it was only a category two, so it wasn't meant to be this big, devastating cyclone rolling in. It came through on the Wednesday, and the thing is, it was quite slow moving. So it brought in with it a lot of water coming in from the coast, and there was just rain nonstop. And of course, we lost power. So it was just humid and hot without electricity, which was a joy trying to do anything without electricity, you know. And I was there just feeling a little bit lost because I couldn't do all these things that I would regularly do. And at the same time, also trying to plan ahead for our time in the Gold Coast. It was just chaotic, honestly. And we made the decision to drive down the night before our flight in case if the roads closed, which they did eventually. And then we got to the Gold Coast. So leading up to this point, I didn't really have any kind of real downtime, any type of reprieve from the upcoming weeks before that, like I'd hoped. And we get to the Gold Coast and we're spending time with family and friends, and it's awesome. And I could feel my whole system just slowly shutting down. And among all of this, I still had to work, and Christmas is one of our busy periods. So there was, you know, just kind of that lot going on, which is becoming quite a recurring theme for me around December. And this is what I learned about myself in this time. You know, something I realized was I need to have downtime throughout. You know, it's not waiting for this week like I scheduled, as much as that's a great thing. I think many of us can be guilty of this. And as much as I try to implement what I'm saying right now frequently, obviously I mess it up too. We all need that downtime throughout the weeks, the days. You know, if you break it down, I think something we often do is we're waiting for a moment for like a week that you take off. It's like, okay, well, in a few months' time, I'll be taking that holiday, and at that point, I can rest. And what I started to notice over the time in the Gold Coast was because I wasn't taking time for myself within the week, within each day, just finding quiet time for me and time for me to refill my bucket back up, I was just becoming less of myself, honestly. I could feel myself getting triggered a bit more easily. I was absorbing some of the anxiety around me, some of the energy that was around me, and it was quite hard for me to draw onto my own resources and to regulate myself. And even though I have these tools and I'm aware I have these tools, it was really challenging to draw upon them when I needed them. And that was a valuable lesson and reminder for me to make that time as much as I can. And I know that can be really hard. Particularly, it was hard for us and for me while we're only there for a few weeks trying to spend a lot of time with people. But then I noticed I wasn't really able to give myself to others when I was there and to be fully present. So one of the things I did was went to the library, and I borrowed some books and I spent a lot of time reading. In the 3 weeks I was there, I read 5 books, which I'm stoked with. I love reading, and it's such a great resource and tool for me to be alone and to kind of go inwards. But it's not, you know, I wasn't reading about trauma. I was reading fiction. It was fantastic. And perhaps a little bit of escapism maybe in there. But it was just time. And it's one of the things that allows me to recharge, to have time to recharge, to have the space to. So that is what I did. But, you know, even then, still over that time, I could still feel myself kind of being worn away a little bit, you know. It's like this idea of not really being able to catch up on sleep. You know, once you're kind of in sleep debt, that's it. If you sleep 4 hours one night and then the next night you tap on an extra couple of hours, doesn't mean that you actually have made up for that sleep. It's not really possible. That is some information from, I think his name's Matthew Walker, sleep guy. Anyway, so we're in the Gold Coast and I'm recognizing these signs, right? I'm flagging a little bit. I'm noticing myself being a bit less patient, a bit more triggered, and doing my best to then create a bit of space. But perhaps by that point, it was already a bit too late, I would say. And then we're there. There's the aftermath of all of the cyclone up in Port Douglas. So David and I had a lot of really challenging conversations. So you're adding on top of this and on top of feeling quite generally stressed and worn out, these big conversations about what the future meant for us in Port. And there were floods up in far north Queensland. There was no water. There was no power. It was quite heartbreaking for us being away from all of that, being away from the community, and then seeing the impact on a town that relies so much on tourism. And we have a business there. So we made a really tough decision to come back to Port. We were due back on the 5th of January. We made a decision to come back, pack all of our things and relocate to the Gold Coast temporarily, just because of the lack of work for David and the high cost of living for us. So we leave the Goldie, come back up to Port, and then spend 5 days repacking our lives. And I can tell you that was probably the hardest thing on our relationship, mine and David's. We were already, like I said, feeling quite worn out. Both of us, in fact, coming back from the Gold Coast. And what, in an ideal world, what we would have had is a couple of days to completely decompress from everything. And you know, sometimes in life you don't get that time that you want. We had a few days to pack everything and to move out because I've got a flight to Japan next week and David's going to drive down. And so we had a lot of conversations in these few days about the impact that this was having on each of us individually, the impact on our mental health, the stress that it was causing us. And whether or not it's worth it, you know, is it worth putting yourself through this and not having the time and space if ultimately this is the impact? And so, again, we tried. We were creating some time and space here and there, but it was still just quite chaotic and quite frantic. And here we are. The car was packed. We gave away a lot of stuff. We had to get rid of a lot of things and just give so much away, which, you know, we'd hope to sell some things and we couldn't. And that was a lesson in itself of remaining unattached to things that we own, unattached to the money, recognizing it's a sunk cost. We'd already paid for all of it, and hanging on to it would just cause us further stress because we don't have space for it and it's not going to fit in the car for David to drive down. So there was a lot of letting go of so many different things in this past week. And here we are now in Cairns for a few days while we sort ourselves out before I fly off and David drives down. And this has been the last few weeks for me. What I've learned about myself is that when I am depleted, when I am lower on energy, when I am operating in that zone of pushing my limits, I am still just as easily triggered. Perhaps not still as easily triggered, but it's when I operate in that zone, it is so much harder for me to self-regulate, to draw on my resources to self-soothe, to remain in control of the overwhelm of the emotions. And I'm far less patient. I'm far less me. You know, it's a time where parts of me become really loud and it's hard for me to really recognize my true self in moments. And I could see it play out even, yeah, with particularly with David, because we are obviously the closest people to each other. And so when we're both stressed and frustrated about different things, we were just having, you know, arguments about stuff that ordinarily we would never argue about. Ordinarily we wouldn't often have miscommunication about. And these things were coming up because we weren't able to take the time and space to take care of ourselves properly. Another thing I learned over this Christmas period about myself is that Christmas is actually a bit of a mourning time for me. Mourning is in mourning. I spent kind of a couple of days before Christmas kind of in a state of grief, but grief came to visit me a couple of times in those days before Christmas. And that grief is just for the breakdown of my family. Christmas used to be one of my favorite times of the year when I was young, and it was always kind of filled, at least in my memory, filled with a lot of happiness and togetherness. And after my parents split up when I was 18, kind of went downhill and just changed. You know, Christmas then looked really different. And grief is quite an interesting, it's a complex emotion that comes and visits whenever, you know, it does, and you can't control it, you can't push it away, and it's just, you know, you embrace it as it comes. And it can come for as long as it needs to. You know, that I don't think that there's necessarily a time limit on grief, or that it's wrong or right to kind of grieve throughout life. Like my parents split up 15 years ago, and I believe that it was ultimately a good thing. But yeah, that grief for the breakdown of my family and not having that togetherness as a family unit, I rarely feel it except for around Christmas. And so, you know, that's something that I've actually recognized in the past few years. And what I remembered this year is, hey, if this is something that kind of shows up each year, that perhaps it's important for me to create time and space for myself around that, knowing that that's a more challenging time and not filling it with so many things. So that was really valuable, you know, that to learn that. And oh boy, it's been, for me, it's just really felt like I've gone full speed, and sometimes that can feel so overwhelming and perhaps a little bit out of control. And I know that in the past when I have felt that, that the biggest challenge there is, you know, this image that I get is sitting in a car and imagine that the accelerator is being pressed full down, like, what do they say, pedal to the metal, full speed, and you're not even the one, like, pressing. You just can't hit the brakes. No matter how much you hit the brakes, it's just not stopping. And there's this feeling of, like, shit, everything's out of control. And every once in a while when I kind of get into that feeling, you know, when I have that in my system and I start to notice it, that's when I actively slow things down around me, because I can't necessarily ease that sensation immediately or ease that sense of overwhelm in my system immediately. But what I can do and what I do have control over is just the actions, whether it's my breath, whether it's choosing to intentionally physically do something slow, like cook slowly, take some time to just sit down and to do nothing, and that can help bring everything down. But yeah, I have noticed kind of being in this state and what it's brought out of me. So what I'm doing with that is probably, you know, what's important, right? Because like I said, you can't do so much with that. You know, it can feel a bit wild and chaotic and as if you can't do anything about it and you just got to ride it out or whatever. And there's a lot that is so beyond my control. So what I can do is accept that there are things out of my control, and that's okay. And I can intentionally create some space and time for me, time for recovery, time in nature, which is something that has perhaps been lacking a bit. Time to be slow, like really to slow things down, even when it feels like it's impossible. And that was something David really reminded me of when we were packing the house down, is he's like, we just got to take moments and just slow it all down. Because sometimes I just get caught up in that. I'm like, cool, if we're going full speed, yep, I'm just going to jump in and go. And that can be quite unhealthy for me. So actively choosing to be slow and spending time doing the things that really nourish and recharge me. And although as an extrovert, that is often spending time with people and spending quality time with people, there's also a limit where I really need to spend time by myself. So those are the things that I'll be doing. And as a result of being able to do all those things and in creating space, I will be back to releasing weekly episodes. yeah. And I'm looking forward to what this year holds. You know, something I haven't actually, and I generally always want to make time for, and I haven't properly made time for, is to really reflect on 2023 and to look ahead at what I hope for this year in 2024. I am not someone who sets New Year's resolutions, as you might already know. However, I do set intentions, and the intention and the theme for 2024 is going to be slowness. Embracing slowness, which is very different to my personality and my fast-paced life. But that is going to be the theme, and I look forward to exploring a lot of that and what that looks like with you. Over the next few episodes, I'm going to be exploring a lot more on, I guess slowing things down a little bit. That's in part. I want to be talking about the nervous system a bit more, on trauma and the impact on the body, and just more of that good stuff. More of that exploration of the journey. Deep dive into self. So I am excited to bring some of those episodes to you, and episodes featuring some guests as well. If you have any topic requests, I am always open to hearing them. So please send them through. You can follow me on Instagram, where I haven't been super active, sorry. At Self with Amanda. You can watch these episodes on YouTube. You can listen to them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. So I really appreciate you listening and tuning in this week. Please like and subscribe, follow, and I will see you next Thursday. Thank you and bye.